From Spark and Anvil and Cipherforge, this is Tome, in Chapter 1 of the Cipherforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Tome, a sturdy, spectacled tortoise in a deep-pocketed cardigan, set a thick, worn volume on the table between two friends and opened it slowly with both paws. Its pages weren't scrambled letters. They were long, neat lists, each ordinary thing beside a secret stand-in, a soaring bird beside a small number, a river beside a picture of a leaf, a whole message beside a single flower. "Give me something to say," he told the first friend, a badger named Wren. "Tell her the falcon flew home," Wren said. Tome ran a claw down his lists, found the falcon, and copied out its stand-in number. He found flew home and copied its stand-in leaf. He never touched a single letter. He simply swapped whole ideas for the code words waiting in his book and handed the strange little strip of numbers and pictures to the second friend, who opened her own matching copy of the very same book, ran her claw down the very same lists in reverse, and read "The Falcon Home Again." "See what I did?" Tome said, tapping the book. "Caesar and mask work inside a word, jumbling its letters. I never bother with letters. I trade whole words and whole meanings for the stand-ins in this book." He smiled, slow and warm. "And counting letters won't help a soul, because the letters were never the secret. The words were. The only way in is to hold the same book."
Tome grew up in a lighthouse keeper's family, where messages crossed the dark water by lamp and flag. On a howling night, there was no time to spell anything out letter by letter, so every lighthouse on the coast shared one signal book. A single long beam meant all clear. A red flag and two short blinks meant rocks ahead, steer wide. Whole careful sentences folded into one steady flash. Young Tome loved that book more than any toy. It meant his tired father could tell the whole coast an entire warning with one patient lamp, if and only if the far shore held the same book too. The book was the friendship between the lights. Then one autumn, a leak ruined a neighboring lighthouse's copy, and for a whole week its lamp blinked out signals nobody could read. The beam was as bright as ever. It simply meant nothing now, because the shared book was gone. Standing at the rail watching that bright, meaningless light, Tome understood something he never lost. The code had never lived in a lamp. It lived in the book two shores held together. Without it, the brightest signal in the world was only light.
Grown, Tome carried his fat book the long, slow road to Cipherforge. Cipher, the workshop's old keeper, waited behind a desk, piled with jumbled letter notes, and set a fresh sheet down. "Show me your way," Cipher said. Tome laid the heavy book open with both hands. "Give me a sentence," he said. Cipher spoke one, and Tome traded its words for the stand-ins in his lists. A number here, a leaf there, a flower for a whole phrase, and passed the strip back. Cipher counted the letters in it, out of long habit, and the counting told him nothing at all. He tried to reason out a rule, and there was no rule to find. Then Tome slid a second matching copy of the book across the desk, and with it, Cipher read the sentence back in moments. "The letters were never the secret," Cipher said, turning the book over in his hands. "It isn't a rule anyone can puzzle out. It's a thing two people have to share." He almost smiled. "Stay and teach it. Keep the shared book." Tome bowed, slow and deeply pleased, and hugged the volume to his cardigan. In his classroom, every shelf crammed with little books, Tome liked to start by giving a pair of students one tiny shared book between them and letting them pass notes no one else could read. Two friends, a shrew and a vole, bent over theirs, giggling as their gibberish-looking strips turned into private jokes. "Now watch what makes it work," Tome told the class, holding up his book.
One stand-in for a whole thing, a word, a name, a whole phrase. Both friends need the exact same book, or the message stays gibberish. Some books use numbers, some use innocent-looking pictures, so a note reads like ordinary chatter. He turned a page. And this is the part to guard. Your message can be perfectly safe, but if someone steals the book, the whole code springs open. The book is the real secret. Mind it like a treasure. The vole raised a paw. Can you make it even sneakier? A CipherForge favorite, Tome said, delighted. Take your code word note and tuck it inside an ordinary letter. That's Hollow's craft. Now it reads like chit-chat, looks like chit-chat, and means something else entirely to the one friend who holds the book. The vole and the shrew immediately put their heads together to try it.
At the close of every lesson, Tome did something quietly tender. He had the two friends who'd been passing book notes all class lend their little shared book to the whole room for a moment. And at once, everyone could read the once secret notes, and the magic simply drained out of them, ordinary now. "Feel that?" he said, gentle. "When everyone holds the book, the secret stops being a secret. A code book isn't strong because it's clever. It's strong because it's shared by just the right two people." He gave the book back to its pair, and the warmth flooded right back into their faces. The cozy, particular gladness of a private language with someone you trust. That gladness, Tome thought, hugging his fat book against his chest, was the whole treasure. Not the pride of an unbreakable code, but the soft ache and warmth of, "There's a language only my friend and I can speak." His own book was heavy against his cardigan, worn from years of being shared. And holding it close, he felt that quiet closeness settle in him, steady and sure.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Tome. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.